You ready?
I'm ready.
Hello, Adam, my ex-husband. I've come to haunt you once again. I'm like an angel in really cute jeans. I won't stop until you stop being mean. And you tell the truth about my little Kate. It's your fate, or you'll remain in the asylum. It's been almost 20 years since you had me banished here. Had me committed like a mad woman. Made me think I almost killed my son. It's your turn to babble like a fool. Oh, wipe your drool. It's your turn now in the asylum. Peanut butter pancake suck. I hate Mick Trashy was bad luck. Threw ratings into a tailspin. Had me killed, they brought me back again to a stupid storyline where I'm still very dead. But in my head, I'm alive on all my children. For more information on how to keep me, Dixie, alive, go to www.tadndixie.com. This week on All My Children, payback sure is a bitch, even if it's 20 years later. Dixie sends Adam to the mental institution.
In case of a deliberate and diabolical drugging, Robert Gardner says, flop, drop, and roll.
Greenlee, totally, seriously, for sure, does not want to have kids with Aiden.
And the good news is, Ryan never had a vasectomy. The bad news is, he obviously has a very low sperm count.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And you are listening to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending May 16th, 2008. I always want to say 2007.
I know. You had to, like, check yourself. I was trying to hold my laughter because she was, like, checking herself to make sure she had everything right.
I was
right.
Checking. I had to check the little calendar in the corner of the computer.
And I was like, what is she doing?
I never know. Taylor used to do those things.
It becomes a blur to you.
It really does. Today, this week, on All My Children, I was wishing a little bit it was 2007.
It wasn't as good as the last week, but, you know, there were moments this week.
There were some good Dixie moments this week.
Well, when are there any bad Dixie moments?
No, you got a point there.
But I won't get on my soapbox yet.
Oh, he's got some good stuff, people.
I'm mad at some. But we'll talk about that later.
What is your expression?
I am not amused.
He is not amused.
But those
people.
Of you who read the blog, y'all know how pissed I am. So we'll talk about that in a little while.
We will cover that and lots more on this week's edition of the Pie Valley.
Stay tuned. It's only going to get better.
I think we must start with some recaps.
Let's get to it then.
Let's get to it. All right. Well, listen. When we ended last week with Dixie.
She was on... wasn't she...
Oh, on the plane.
On the plane.
That's right. On the plane.
Her little stewardess uniform.
She was looking so beautiful. All week she's been looking beautiful. Why are you laughing at that?
No, because she is looking great.
All right.
I like me some Dixie.
All right. We got us some Dixie love going on. And by the way, people, I have not given a plug to my good friend Super Poster. He deserves a huge plug on this one.
Hi, Super Poster.
Hello, Super Poster. If you do not know, or this is the first time listening to the Pine Valley Podcast, welcome.
Welcome.
We're so glad you're with us. But if you do know us, you know that we love to go to Super Poster's All My Children fan space. And that you can find at www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. Now, if you go there, you will find lots of links and tidbits and stuff like that. But what he's doing this week, he has been able to get some fantastic interviews with industry pros and guests and writers. And now he's getting actors. He is now getting an interview with Katie McLean.
Go super poster.
A Q&A. So basically what you got to do, people, is you got to go to his website and then, or his MySpace page, and then look under his blogs and review all his blogs, and you'll see the link to where he announces that he's going to have the Q&A. And then, people, you can submit your question to Katie McLean. So I'm really excited for that. So I'm getting my questions ready. I haven't submitted them yet, but I'm getting them ready. So anyway, we ended last week with her and him in the plane, and he's starting to get to her a little bit. He finally figured out how to get to her. Yeah. In the plane, he did.
Yeah, yeah.
He started doing what, Jordan?
he started taunting her. He started realizing, well, why can't you go to Tad? You know, if this is so important to you, blah, 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 blah. And we're starting to find out that she's feeling some massive guilt.
Well, yeah, because he started to attack her for giving up her kids. Yeah. And that's what she did, people. We cannot lie. She abandoned JR. She definitely abandoned Kate. Yeah. So she did do that. He now thinks he's figured it out. He thinks that she's just doing this to save her own soul because she in purgatory.
Yeah.
Which could be. I hope it ain't, because I was so loving last week's theory, but this week kind of shot last week's theory to hell. My theory last week, courtesy of Taylor Crawford, was that this is Adam's imagination of Dixie.
Yeah.
So Dixie doesn't quite seem to be Dixie.
But again, we knew that was not going to be able to be true, because the fact is that she's visiting everybody else in Pine Valley,
too. I know.
I mean, little A can see her.
That's what I'm saying. That happened this week.
And JR feels her. And now, well, we'll tell you about later who else she visited.
Yes. I like when Dixie tried to start to down the plane, but you knew she wasn't going to do it. And she didn't do it. But she did warn Adam that something bad was coming, right?
Yeah, she did. But you're forgetting, I liked her little Beyonce move.
When she jiggled
her ass at the very beginning of the scene where he was saying like she'd have no power or anything. And she did this little, woo! And she did her little Beyonce thing.
And
she shook her and she was like, oh, 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 oh. And I was like, and she shook her behind and the plane started shaking. I was like, work, girl. I was just like, she's crazy in love.
She's been doing great. Well, she then goes the next day to see JR and Babe. And Babe was looking pretty. Don't give me that look.
I'm not saying nothing.
All right. She looked good. She was wearing a yellow tie. Ow! Ow! He keeps hitting me, people.
I'm talking about no new babe.
All right, fine. Listen. She was wearing a yellow top and gray skirt. And you people can fill in the blanks as to what you thought about it. Hold on a second. I'm going to tell you something. Turn away.
All right.
I think she looked really pretty. Did you hear that, viewers? You can agree with me. It's okay. He won't slap you. Anyway, so then JR is talking. Babe leaves to go to work. JR is talking to little Adam on the couch. And I think it was Jill that wrote in. I was cracking up, Jill, at your comments because I was thinking the same thing. That poor actor that plays little Adam. Listen, we agree, okay? We all agree here. Kids are off limits on this program. Like, you don't make fun of children.
We don't like to make fun of kids.
You don't make fun of kids.
We're not the soup.
We are not the soup. We are not Howard Stern. You know what I'm saying? We have boundaries, limits, limitations. That's the dog whisperer. Boundaries, rules, and limitations.
Okay.
That's what he says.
That's what he says?
Yes. That's why my Gucci is so well behaved. Because I use his techniques. The dog whisperer, Caesar's. Milan's techniques.
Well, I thought it was because you were using Ritalin.
I know, he comes over, my dog is not very excited
that
anymore.
That dog is like, one minute is hyper, the next minute is like
Gucci.
I'm like, what's wrong with your
Gucci's
dog?
Gucci's funny, she is. Anyway, okay, so I digress. JR is playing with little Adam, and he is just in his own world, right? And Dixie is so happy to see JR playing with little Adam. Like, she was stroking JR's hair, and he kind of felt it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she also mentioned something. Didn't JR mention something about his giraffe at that point?
Yes, yes.
Oh, whatever. The giraffe was Cornelius.
Was that the giraffe's name?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember
this giraffe? I don't remember this giraffe when he was a baby.
I mean, that was years ago. I mean, I'm good, but even I can't remember the little detail like that.
A giraffe.
I mean, oh.
But anyway, she appears to him, and I was almost in tears because it was beautiful when she talks to her grandson. But anyway, I was cracking up at the part where JR was reading the last page of a book to little Lay. Little Lay. And you could tell, that he obviously didn't read the kid the whole book. Like, for the purposes of the television program, he read him the last page. So little A says, "That's the only book you're going to read? When are we going to eat the cookies?" Now, JR, now this isn't even little A's fault. JR just ignores the child. He's just like, you can tell he's annoyed. And then he just starts singing out of the blue, "You Are My Sunshine," because that's what the script says that Jacob Young has to do as JR. And this kid looks like, he's just like, huh? What? What's going on?
I want cookies.
Hysterical. I loved it. And then he starts singing, and then Dixie starts singing, "You Are My Sunshine." And then Adam, little Adam, falls asleep, comatose.
Yeah.
Like so fake, like, and it was kind of funny. But anyway, I did start crying at that point.
Yes.
When they both started singing, "You Are My Sunshine."
It's very touching and it's very heart wrenching, but it means that she's really dead. I can't get past that aspect of it. Like, I'm like, no, don't get me wrong. I was touched by the scenes and it was beautiful. But it's like, the more they do stuff like that, the more they're saying that there's no way that she's ever going to be alive.
I know.
Because my theory now is that it is her astral form visiting everybody, and she's in a coma somewhere. Because there are people that believe that when you're in a coma, your astral form can project out of your body and travel. Look, I'm looking for any excuse to keep her alive.
Listen, I'm loving that theory.
That is from the comic books, and I'm using that theory. I'm loving that
theory, and you need to write Barbara Eszter and James Harmon Brown. That is, if they still have a job by the end of the month.
Because I know Ron C. from the head writer. When I tell you, he's a big comic book fan like me. We love comics and soaps.
Is he the one that's rumored to becoming a Bort?
No, that's Gary Tomlin. He's just old.
But tell me about that rumor. Is that rumor still alive?
I don't know. Well, there was a rumor going around that there was going to be some changes in the powers that be at All My Children. And then I read somewhere that they were speculating about Gary Tomlin coming to as the head writer. But nothing else has happened. I have not read or heard anything else about.
Damn.
Because you know who I want gone. Julie Horrible Corroded.
That's a.k.a. Julie Hannon Craphuthers.
Damn that woman.
Nobody likes her.
She's an idiot. That's why. Because she's inept at her job. She doesn't know what she's doing. I can't believe the ABC. You want to save money, ABC? Fire her. And get rid of her. Get rid of her. Get me in there. I'll do a better job.
That's right. Little Adam could do a better job. Little Julie Adam had it crap others.
Yeah. So where were we now?
We were talking about
Dixie visiting, and then she
torments Adam in front of JR and New Colby.
That was funny.
It was funny, but was not funny was New Colby's hair.
Let me tell you something about
she don't look good.
I'm gonna say what I have to say about New Colby right now.
Say it.
When New Colby started her very, very first day, which I found very weird that they did not go, the role of Colby Chandler will now be played. But you know, they didn't do that.
That's weird. I agree.
They didn't do that. Every soap opera does that.
I agree.
What did they think? We were stupid and we weren't going to realize that all of a sudden she's a little bit taller and she don't have no blue eyes?
Yep.
So anyway, I saw her first day and I thought to myself, oh, well, maybe my source was a little bit off. She doesn't seem that horrendous.
Oh, give me a break. You people.
But let
are
me
crazy.
Tell you something. These are the scenes that count. When you don't have lines, but yet you have to act, that's when you show whether you can really act or not. She really is dead behind the eyes. I'm sorry. She was so bland during those scenes. And all I kept thinking about was how Amber would have had those beautiful blue eyes sparkling with tears, worrying about her daddy. That's all I kept thinking about, how Amber would have turned that scene out with no dialogue.
I kept thinking about those ugly green jeans that she was wearing. And how she didn't even fit into them. And wasn't she wearing like white pumps or something?
She was a mess.
It was like 1982. She was a mess. She was wearing a vest that my 6-year-old niece could maybe wear.
She was a mess. And I think she's trying to imitate Amber, too. She sounds so like... I don't like her. I don't like her at all.
She is worse than Blandy.
Yes, I'll agree with you on that.
This is what she's like. What's wrong with Dad? Oh, my God. Uncle Stuart, Dad is sick and he's in the hospital. What are we going to do?
I think you gave it just a little bit too much emotion. She was not emoting that much, girl. She was very flat. It was very much like, oh my God, JR, what's wrong with Daddy? Uncle Stuart. I couldn't even do it without laughing. But she was that bad.
She was that bad. I feel a little guilty.
About what?
Because I'm so hard on a girl. We gave her two episodes.
No, she was on more than two episodes.
Listen, I'm going to say something right now. Little Amber Childers
was pretty bad as Colby when she first came. But no, only because the material was bad.
I don't think she was bad. Right. I think the character was really annoying. It was an annoying teenager.
It was a horrible character. So I'll give Brienne Moncrief. I won't say I'm going to give her a week. I don't think I can.
No, I'm not going to give her nothing. You know why? Because there was no reason to recast the role. That's that the simple. Problem. There was no reason to recast it because I don't care what anybody says. Amber was fired. She was not. She did not quit of her own accord. The same way Sydney Penney did not quit. They fired them.
Same way Sabine Singh got fired. And people, she don't deserve an Emmy. Get over the uproar and the controversy. I'm sorry. I got to put my foot down on this. It's annoying to me. It really is. I'm the first person to tell you that I agree that Sabine Singh was treated wrong. That's it. But the problem wasn't her. It was the role should have never been recast. You don't recast this role so fresh out of the box. Rebecca Budig wasn't gone long enough. She was too memorable in the role. And Sabine was not a good replacement. She wasn't. That's the bottom line. Sabine was too big, too animated, too not Greenleaf. Don't you think?
Yes. It is not an easy job to be a cast director.
It is not.
And you have to be good and you got to know when to cast right and when not to. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but our Dixie, Katie McClain, was in the original Dixie.
I do know that. The original Dixie was blonde, Carrie Gibson. A Southern Belle.
Well, I will say this. Actually, Katie was their first choice. But Katie, if I remember the circuit, she was offered a play at the same time. She chose the play.
She's awesome. I love and that woman.
She chose the play, or it was something else. She was offered two things at the same time. And so they took Carrie Gibson, who was their second. And Carrie wasn't bad, but I don't think she was right for the role. I think they had a vision.
I remember her.
They had a vision. They had a vision of where the character was.
She was too sexy.
She was too vampy. She was not the kind of wholesome girl that could be manipulated by Adam.
She was like a cartoon character of a Southern Belle, right?
And when Katie, exactly. And when Katie came, was available, they got rid of Carrie and they brought Katie.
Yep, absolutely.
So sometimes recasting can work. But you gotta put some thought into it. You gotta know, like, when's the right time and who the right actress is. And being that you brought this up, I finally gotta say it. I am not amused about this Beth Ehlers coming on as Liza Colby. Look, Beth Ehlers can come on All My Children. I don't care. She can play anybody. She can play Haley. I don't care who she is. She is not Liza Colby.
He showed me the footage.
I even brought Ashley onto YouTube and we watched some Beth Chamberlain scenes. YouTube Beth Chamberlain, who plays Beth Rains, and then YouTube Beth Ehlers, who plays Harley in Guiding Light, you will see who the better choice for. And this is why Judy Bly Wilson is an idiot, because you don't just. And I know what they are doing. They have an agenda. They're thinking that if they put Ricky Paul and Beth Ehlers together, because Jake and Liza do have a past,
right,
that the ratings are going to bump up. And I'm sorry, this is not Guiding Light. This is All My Children. These are two different characters. And you're sacrificing the role of Liza Colby to try to, like, push an agenda.
Lazy.
Lazy, lazy, lazy. She's not Liza. She cannot play somebody who's very uppity, who's very blue-blooded, who's very bitchy and likable. She's just not Liza Colby.
I agree with that. I saw the video of Beth Chamberlain. Beth Chamberlain is very beautiful, very age-appropriate, completely age-appropriate. She's got that sort of regal thing going.
Yeah,
like,
regal
she's
thing.
She carries herself very well.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what Liza is. Liza's not no teen drama queen, you know, like, or not even teen, but Liza's not no, like, drama queen, you
know. Right, she was very sophisticated. Even when she was a teenager when they first introduced her, she was snotty. She was rich. She was upper crust.
She was absolutely. She was scheming. She was very, very deliberate and manipulative and scheming and in a very smart way.
Yeah, like in a very intelligent.
Right.
See, not like Erica, because, you know, Erica, I love me some Susan Lucci, but Erica's schemes always fall apart.
Yeah.
Liza made some headway with her schemes.
She's very smart.
She's very and
Beth Ehlers could play Haley.
Yeah, she's definitely. I mean, don't get me wrong. Beth Ehlers looks.
I want her to play Haley.
Beth Ehlers looks the age appropriate because she looks like a Bieha. She has not aged well over the years.
People, a vieja is like an old lady.
It is an old lady. It's not like an old lady. And she, I mean, the face and the wrinkles, she's aged well. But, I mean, well, she doesn't age well, but she aged enough to... I'm just very upset because I think, yet again, the powers that be really don't seem to really have the show's best interests at heart. And this is what annoys me. You kill off Dixie. You kill off Julia. And now you're bringing Dixie back. And we want Dixie back, and you're bringing her back as a ghost when she obviously wants to work. Because if she didn't want to work on the show, she wouldn't be back right now. So if she wants to come back and we want her back, why are you not giving her to us? I'm just pissed. Damn it, I'm just pissed. Why can't they just give us our Dixie back?
I agree 1,000,000,000,000,000,000%.
You want the show to bump up? Bring her back. Bring Brooke back.
This is the ABC way. You throw shit at the wall and you see what sticks. And you know what? It literally stinks.
And it just ruins it because you know what?
Get it? You're trying it stinks.
Yeah, I get it. And it just ruins it because what, like, you're trying to, like, create this thing that they had on Guiding Light. Did you not see the chemistry between Rebecca and Ricky Paul this week?
Yes, I'm very angry about the whole thing. Angry thinking that they may not be paired.
And I'm loving me some Ricky Paul going on this show.
The first day he came on,
he was there.
He mentioned Greenlee, that he was getting married to Greenlee Smythe. And Jake said, Greenlee Smythe. And he looked like a dagger had been put in his heart and just turned and twisted and turned.
Yes, and I saw that too.
Didn't say one word.
And I saw that too. When you as an actor can just say a lie and yet show so much emotion.
Absolutely.
And that you get the whole backdrop of that story and what that one word means,
that is
an actor. And that's when I said, you know what? He's going to kick ass as Jake on All My Children.
He's incredible.
And
he
has not disappointed me.
Once.
But you know what? If All My Children tries to force him and Beth Ehlers down our throat, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
I agree.
She's not Liza.
And I'm worried that they're going with this whole Caroline. I want him to be upset over Greenlee. I want him to end up having gone to Africa. He married Caroline clearly as a sham. We know that. But I want him to end up having gone to Africa to escape Greenlee, the love of his life, because he was so pained by the fact that she rejected him.
Yeah, I want it to be that too. I think the two of them have... And this is what irks me about these people, the producers and stuff. It's like, how do you not realize this stuff? This is why I got so much props for Frank at One Life to Live, because he keeps tabs on this kind of stuff. He knows what the viewers want,
Frank,
and he gives it.
That's Valentini.
Valentini from One Life to Live. Mm-hmm. He is building up to July, which is the 40th anniversary of One Life to Live, and he has some surprises and stuff going on for us. I mean, he's bringing everything from the past. He cares about his job.
He
is bringing back everybody. I mean, Tina's back. Christine Jones is back as Pamela Buchanan. I just heard that they're bringing back Christopher Cousins as Kane, who was involved with Tina. I mean, I am so excited because he's bringing back all these people that I used to watch, and they're building up to something. I mean, and I know what Dorian has in store at that Buchanan Enterprises meeting. And One Life to Live is exciting me. And right now, All My Children, you're starting to disappoint me again.
We'll see what happens. We were talking about Dixie. Mm. Basically, what ended up happening after, you know, Dixie was with JR is that Adam walks in and he tells JR that he has been talking to Dixie, and JR thinks he's lost it.
Yeah.
So does Colby. They end up calling the people, the good people of Oak Haven. Now, many of y'all don't remember, Oak Haven is the same institutional facility for the mentally insane that Adam Sr. sent our beloved Dixie to keep her from JR.
Mm-hmm.
And Tad rescued her. It was so good.
Yeah, we didn't mention that she showed Adam those flashbacks on the airplane.
That's right. I love the movie of his life.
It was like the ghost of Christmas past. Yeah, those were
from
some good
Christmas
scenes.
Carol. It was great.
It was very well written.
Really well done. So then the shrink walks in just as Adam is talking to Dixie. Colby noticed him talking to himself, and she had this new Colby had this fake horrified look on. Her face was all contorted. She was like, "Ah!" Oh.
I don't think it was because of Adam. I think it's because those curls were too tight.
She was feeling.
What is she, Shirley Temple? What is with those curls?
She was feeling faint. She could barely. Maybe that's why she was so wobbly.
Those curls are just annoying to me.
God, it was terrible. Anyway, so he goes to Oak Haven. He wakes up in Oak Haven with a pillow and a blanket.
That was hysterical.
And then Nurse, as Jordan puts it, Nurse Ratchet walks in.
I love that nurse.
She was so unprofessional.
I know, but she was fabulous.
She was cracking a whip.
She was cracking the whip when she opened that door. She swung her head in.
She all but called him crazy.
I love that nurse.
It was funny.
Oh, my God. That nurse was fabulous.
Well, anyway. What did she say? It's stuff like this that landed you here in the first place. I was like, that's so wrong.
Oh, my God.
She might as well call him crazy. Anyway, so then Dixie appears, and then Adam has the balls to taunt her again about Crystal and Tad having sex.
Yeah, that was a twisted scene.
That was really twisted. I liked it, though. That was
pure
Adam.
I liked it, but it was twisted. It was pure Adam. I mean, Adam. David Canary, you know what? David Canary has really been fabulous, but he is eating up this material, boy.
How funny was it, though, when she got pissed that she uses this invisible force field to push him into the chair?
She was having her Jean Grey from the X-Men moments. That's loving it. She was like, it was very superhero comedy.
And he falls into a chair. And then the pillow goes flying into his face. I have to tell you something.
What?
I turned up the resolution on my high definition television. I saw a string.
No, you did not.
I did.
You did not.
I thought I saw a string. and then it was so funny. So it flies into Adam's face. And he ends up rolling on the ground. And then these orderlies come in. And they have a real hard time helping him because their pants are too tight.
And their pants are too tight.
They were like trying to bend over. And it was like they were so short and tight. Like you could see basically like their bare ankles because the pants were coming up so high.
Did you notice they looked like twins?
They really did.
They were both bald. What was up with that?
They were bald. They didn't fit into their pants.
Maybe they're afraid the loonies will pull people with hair, so they only hire bald people there.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh my god! Those were some funny scenes. Those were the cheerful scenes this week. I loved them. When you know we forgot to mention, I loved when Dixie was telling Adam to swear to everybody, and then she's like, "I want you to swear to your sister, lies."
He was convinced. He was convinced now that he has to get out of there,
and he was willing to do anything.
He's going to do anything. So Dixie said, "He says I'll tell Tad about Kate."
And you know he wasn't going to.
You know he ain't. And I was surprised at Dixie. I'm thinking to myself, let him do it first, and then, Dixie, you help him out. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but that's why she asked him to swear, because she knows Adam, and she would swear. But I love the fact that she brought up Lottie. She was like, swear to your death sister, Lottie.
And she made him swear to everybody.
I was like, Dixie has me laughing.
Well, I'm going to backtrack a little bit to Tad and Crystal, because there was a very nice scene where Tad and Crystal... See, here's the thing. I don't love them as a couple. They have no chemistry. They don't work. I do love them together on screen. I just think they're such wonderful actors together.
They're good friends.
And they're great friends. It's a great relationship.
The characters are friends, and that's what they should be. They only got married for the baby.
I love the relationship.
They have a great relationship.
And it was really a nice scene, because she tries to gently... Like, he's getting so excited about getting closer to Kate. And that's why I also love Michael Knight, because that man has never had one child in his life, I don't think. Right?
What, in real life?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have kids.
And he has such beautiful feelings for the people that play children on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed by him. But anyway, he's so excited about it, and she really tries to, you know, gently remind him that Kate has a family, and that even if he found Kate, like, she's trying to set him up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Because he's just so excited. And her cans was so round in last week's episode.
Does she have kids?
I don't feel like she does.
Okay.
I don't feel like she does.
When people have babies, their breasts get bigger.
But she has the most rounded tetas. She was wearing that fake orange pleather jacket, and it was like squeezing them tetas together. She looked beautiful.
She has some. Yeah, they're there.
It was beautiful.
They're hard to miss.
So what was the whole thing, though, when Aiden came over and Tad got a lead to the reporter?
You know what? I got to tell you. I got to be honest with you. When Aiden's on the air, I have to see the scenes twice. Once, I got to put them.
Fast forward?
No. I got to watch it, and then I got to put it back and put it on mute so I could read the captions to understand what he's saying. So I didn't have time for that scene. I just saw it. I only understood what Tad was saying.
I think there was some reporter that was hot on the trail for Madden, and she was getting very close, and then she got killed.
Yes, that is right. That is what happened.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Snoozeville. But we already know the end of the story, people.
But we didn't talk about the end of the Adam storyline.
We're getting there.
Okay.
This is what happens.
What? Go ahead.
I love him. You should see him. He's like a little 10-year-old boy.
Go ahead. I want
to hear. He's on the edge of his seat listening to what happens next in the story.
Go ahead.
It's
tell
so
me.
Beautiful. So what happens next is Tad goes to the hospital to visit Jake Martin.
But why does Tad... Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So he goes and they talk and it's such like Jordan said, a beautiful scene between two great actors. It's just like they talk about, he tells him about Kate and how much he misses Kate and all that stuff. And Jake is all excited for him. And then Jake gets really defensive about his life and he won't talk about that stuff. But anyway, he leaves the hospital. He runs into new Kobe. And he says,
this is the scene I wanted to talk
and
about.
And he says, Kobe, are you feeling okay? You look a little fake.
He did not.
Oh, he didn't say that?
No, he didn't say that. Right, he said, Kobe, are you okay? Your curls look a little too tight. Yes, that's what he said.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
He said, fabulous hairdo, but there's blood coming out of your scalp.
We could go out all day with this one.
It's like in Arrested Development where he got the hair plugs.
Oh my god, you remember that episode? Yo, if you never seen Arrested Development,
go get all three seasons
on DVD. That was one of the best shows ever. Never should have been canceled. Arrested Development. Woo.
So then what happens is new Kobe. As you so properly say, new Kobe.
New Kobe.
She says, oh my God, Tad. Dad was taken to Oak Haven. They put him in the mental institution. You've got to help.
That was better, but I think you gave it a little too much emotion. Remember, this is still new Kobe. Much, this is new Kobe.
Damn. But you know I'll what? I'll get her down. I'll work on her.
But you know what I noticed about her in that scene?
What?
She slouches. I was like, God, she was really hunchback in that scene.
She's like No Neck Melinda from American Idol.
Oh, my God.
I love me some Melinda, but she had no neck.
Yeah, whatever happened to her?
No neck Melinda.
Nothing ever happened with her.
So brilliant,
She went back to singing backup, didn't she?
Heck no. That girl's too talented. I'm sure she's doing something. So then what happened, people? And I know y'all are at the edge of your seats. At the very end of the week, Dixie leaves Adam in a huff because she know he's full of beans. Tad knows that he's in the institution. So what does Tad do? He goes to visit. So what will happen next week? You think he would tell Tad?
I don't think he's going to tell Tad because I got the spoiler for this.
No!
I know exactly what's going to happen.
Dang! I don't know. I don't want to know, I don't think.
I'm not going to tell anybody because I don't want to remember. I know exactly.
I don't want to know. I know too much of what's going on.
I know what's
going
to happen when Tad and Adam see each other. And I know when it's going to come down the pike about Kate. We got a couple of weeks.
Well, we do know one thing. Dixie warned Jake about something bad happening.
Yes, Dixie. That's the thing. Dixie, the person that Dixie visited again visited Jake. And I actually like that scene because she basically, Jake is adamant that he needs to go back to Africa. Mm-hmm. We still don't know why, but he's determined to go back to Africa. And Dixie came behind Jake and she whispered in his ears and she said and she warned him, you can't go back. You need to be here for your brother because otherwise you'll never see him again.
Yep.
So we know, because I mean, I don't know if everybody knows. You know the spoiler alert about what's going to happen with Tad.
I do.
But we're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you anything else. So she's warning and she's setting up. And I got to tell you, that Ricky Paul Golden and Michael Knight scene, how great was that?
Well, I want to talk about Ricky Paul Golden a little bit. Can we talk about Jake?
Yeah.
Well, we could start at the beginning of the week because we had the wrap up of the hostage situation. And Aiden comes home and Greenlee is like,
pretend,
giddy.
Yeah.
She's all happy. She's brilliant.
Because that's what it says for her to do in the script. Just like the hills.
It says for her to be giddy, so she giddy.
Just like the girls in the hills. She does what's in the script.
That's right. So they made out in Zach's office.
Ew.
And I couldn't help but wonder, you think Aiden brushed his teeth on the plane ride home? Because he had not had much sleep. He had been up.
They forget about stuff like that.
He didn't have access to the same way
like did Erica and Carmen when they wanted to run. Did they go to the bathroom? You brought that up too.
They didn't go to the bathroom.
So don't talk about stuff like that.
Brush their teeth.
People wake up in the morning kissing each other. Right. When you wake up in the morning, is the first thing you do, you kiss Carlos?
I do, but I go like this. Like I never part my lips.
Okay.
Until I brush my teeth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My mother said the same thing about Cliff and Nina years ago when Cliff was lost in the wilderness and he came back to Nina. And the first thing when Nina saw that he was alive, they started making out. And my first thing, my mother looked at me and said, and me and my cousins, because we all used to watch it together back then. And my mother was like, ew, did he even have time to brush his teeth coming back from the Amazon like that? And so you got to wonder about those.
Back then, they used a lot of scope. Scope the mouthwash. That was the big thing back then, scope.
Scope.
Anyway, so what do you think would be the first thing you would do if you had just got, you were just held by rebel dogs?
I want to go get a drink of confusion.
Right? That's what I would do.
You just won $1 million, Ashley. Where are you going to go? To confusion.
To confusion. To celebrate. I was just like, whatever. So weird. Anyway, we'll get back to Greenlee and Aiden in a second. Let's get to Jake.
Oh.
He pulls some attitude with Miss Angela. What? Angela! Don't you,
that was a good Jesse.
That's Jesse.
Angela!
I love doing that. He hasn't done it lately. I'm so disappointed. I want him to do it. I just want him to do it. Anyway, Jake does not want his family to know he's home.
Exactly.
And what does Angie do?
She gives him some tough love.
Gives him tough love, and she calls Tad. And Tad is about to tell Dr. Joe that Jake is dead.
He wasn't going to tell him Jake was dead.
Yes, he was. He was going to tell him
Jake, something's wrong.
That was ridiculous.
He wasn't going to tell him he's dead. He was going to tell him something's wrong.
I loved it when Jake called Dr. Hubbard a pain in the ass. I loved it.
I loved it. Ricky Paul goes on good.
He told Jake, Dad came running right over and was great, and Dr. Joe did, and Jake told him that Jeff and Jamie were okay, that they were miles away.
So they mentioned them for you.
They did mention them for me. I love Dr. Jake. He wants to go back to Africa. And Tad thinks that maybe Jake's objections are about something else, and he knows that they are. I'm thinking they're Greenlee, but I don't know how that's going to turn out because it doesn't feel like it's turning that way. But Greenlee does go visit Dr. Jake.
Oh. And those sparks were literally, I mean, leaping off the TV screen for me.
I mean, I had to turn down the resolution on my high-definition television because it was getting blurry in spots because of the heat coming from these two.
The minute he said Smythe and she said Martin, I was hooked.
Ugh.
Now, when J.D. Peck played, did they used to call each other Smythe and Martin?
No.
See, that's chemistry.
That's what I'm saying.
Ugh.
Anyway, I loved it because he sees Greenlee in a very ugly, the first ugly outfit I've seen her in. I don't like that lavender dress, that fake Chanel lavender dress. It's ugly. She don't even make it look good. And she's beautiful.
You're just like a Mr. Blackwell with these clothing, aren't you?
Well, you know, I'm very particular.
Very sophisticated.
Very sophisticated. You should see my wardrobe. Anyway.
I don't know. I like your big door knocker earrings. And your tube top.
I had to take them off for the show because they clang against the microphone. They like clang against me. So I have to remove them. Plus, I don't want to hit Jordan in the head. He would get a black eye. I love my earrings.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, but Greenlee has to tell him that Aiden is the love of her life. She's loved him more than she's loved any man.
Yep. Leo?
I'm going to write to Rebecca.
Leo?
She can't be saying these dumbass lines.
Leo?
That's what I'm saying.
Leo? Leo? That's all I'm going to keep saying.
Compare Adam
to Leo.
Josh Duhamel, a veritable Greek god. How do you compare? How doth thee compare the twixt? Who? How does it happen?
You lost me with the twixt. I don't know what it was.
How dare she?
I just thought that was the most stupidest lie.
Dumb, idiotic, stupid.
She did not need to say that.
Other thing is, she's saying it to a man that loved her deeply, truly,
I know, but he
madly.
Played off that. He played off
madly,
that.
Truly, deeply.
He was like, oh, you hurt me. He played off that. I loved
he
it.
He put a fake dagger in his heart and twisted it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted it to be a real thing. I want him to really be like, you know.
I think he was.
But she wasn't. She didn't seem very interested. She asked him about Carolyn, that joke of a wife. That Carolyn made an appearance once with J.D. Peck. It was like,
wasn't
Holly
like the
Hobby.
That he immediately like fooled around with after the Greenlee dumped
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but she was like a nothing. She was like a U5 role.
Yeah, but that's who he married, right? That was yes. That nurse that he was fooling around
yes.
with.
She was like a cross between Laura Ingalls and Holly Hobby.
Who's Holly Hobby?
The doll. The doll with the
oh,
bonnet.
Oh, that's right. Holly Hobby.
The little white girl doll.
Okay,
with
I remember
the
that
bonnet.
Now that you described it, I remember Holly Hobby. Yeah.
Yeah, very innocent type of girl. She would just blah, blah. Anyway, so he talks about this 18-year-old. He kind of comes, he takes the opportunity to have a deep heart-to-heart with Greenlee, and he tells her about this 18-year-old woman who had three kids whose husband had died of AIDS, and she would help out at the clinic. And that some rebel Darfurians came and she died trying to protect him and the patients. And he was in tears as he tells this story.
He was very subtle. It was a very amazing word. It could have been so over the top.
It wasn't like he was gushing and trying to cry. There was just stuff leaking from his eyes.
It was just right.
And he was trying to like deny it. Like he was almost like embarrassed of his tears. So he wipes his tears with his pillow.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
You didn't notice, Jordan?
What?
The makeup on the pillow?
No, I didn't. I don't have no high resolution TV like you do.
I felt horrible for him, for our Ricky Paul Golden, aka new beautiful Jake Martin. He wiped his tear on them white pillows and all the makeup went on a pillow.
Damn, you got a high resolution TV, don't you?
I can't notice.
If anybody else noticed it, blog it and let me know, because I didn't see it. None of my crappy ass TV.
I was more looking at him. But here's what was so upsetting.
What?
I figured for the next take they would replace the pillow.
They did it.
They didn't replace the pillow.
Well, obviously nobody in the set noticed it either.
It was so bad. I feel so bad because the men are, at least for the women, it's understandable because you know they're wearing makeup, but the men are not supposed to be wearing it. So it's embarrassing. Anyway, Greenlee starts to understand why he wants to go back now, because he feels such dedication to his people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of man he is. And he also,
he's a man of the people.
But he also starts hearing things about Carolyn, right? He starts hearing Carolyn's voice, or is that maybe the girl's voice?
No, I think that was the girl's voice.
No, but she would have an accent, people. She would have an African accent.
No, I don't think I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Goodbye, Jake. Goodbye. That was the voice. You don't know who that is?
Maybe Carolyn dumped them. But I don't think he'd be that. I don't know.
And it wasn't Greenlee's voice. But hold on a second. Was it Terry in Toronto? Terry, was it you or was it Melissa? Somebody wrote us in and talked about the beer. Frankie and Aiden.
Would they be really having him, let him drink beer in a hospital?
Listen, the man was malnourished, dehydrated, low electrolytes, every horrible thing that could bring you close to death in the book. And they're giving him beer?
Okay, I wasn't the only one who thought that was weird then.
Everybody
thought it was weird.
It was so ridiculous.
Well, you know whose idea that was?
Julie Han and Crap Brothers?
No, Adam. Adam's the one who brought the beer. He's the one who's so stupid that he thought it'd be cool.
Every bad in the show, I blame on Julie Han and Crap Brothers.
And Adam. But I like all the male bonding on the show lately. I like these friendships. I like seeing like Jesse and Tad doing stuff. And I like seeing Frankie and Jake bonding and Jake and his brother Tad. I'm liking all this male bonding on the show.
Oh, and by the way, I was a little bit wrong about the crying. The crying happened when he was talking to Frankie, not to Greenlee.
Yes.
So I was a little off.
That's why I was a little wondering.
But you still don't remember?
No, I don't remember the makeup, but I kept thinking, I don't remember him crying at that point.
Yeah, he didn't cry at that point.
It was when he was talking to Frankie.
Because Frankie's been to Iraq.
And Frankie and him. That was a really... Let's just say, you know how good those scenes were? Because that old school, All My Children. And I love the fact that they're dealing with this, because regardless of whether we want to deal with it or not, this is what's going on right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and I find it to be very realistic.
I like it too. Well, we ended up the week with them, like we said, Jake talking to Tad and stuff.
Yeah.
So we will see, and Dixie visiting him. So we will see what happens with Jake. But I'm going to tell you right now, he is my favorite character right now on the show. Hands down, I can't wait to the days that he's on. I can't wait to see him making love to a mad passionate love to a woman, hopefully Greenlee. I cannot wait. He is so sexy and so beautiful, and I love him.
Yes, he's doing a bang-up job.
Bang-up.
Oh, I can't wait for him to see his parents. Well, he's seen Papa. I want him to see Mama now.
I know. I can't wait till she comes back.
I want to see Roof.
Well, listen, we should talk a little wrap up Greenlee and Aiden, because it's, you know, distinct at least.
Do it fast.
Contrived. I'm gonna say contrived. I found a lot of contrived things this week, but that's just me. The contrived moment of the week for me is now all of a sudden, out of the blue, Aiden is all excited for the wedding and planning his future with Greenlee and having kids, and Greenlee panics. And she goes to talk to Kenzo the next day at Fusion and says she never wants to have kids. Now, I don't have a problem with this. In fact, I like this kind of thing in a woman character, because I'm so sick of women only existing to want to get married and have babies and stealing babies, and I just want to have a baby, and if I don't have a baby, I'm going to go crazy and blah, 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 blah. And the other thing I don't mind about it is that it will break up her and Aiden. But it's lazy. It's too contrived. It doesn't make sense. This is the woman who drove a child off a cliff stealing him because she wanted him so badly. Am I right?
Bad writing.
Bad writing. Lazy bad writers. Writing.
We already know they're lazy.
So she tells Kendall she is 1,000% sure that she don't want kids. She's completely, totally, this week. 100% this week with Aiden.
Never know what can happen next week. Maybe with Jake. Next week. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Or with Ryan.
Maybe it's just everybody but Aiden. That's it.
Well, I thought it was nice because Kendall gave her very good relation. Based on her own experiences, Kendall gave her some advice. She said, you should never, ever have secrets from your husband. Take it from me. That's exactly what I did.
You can have secrets from your best friend, but never your husband.
Not your husband.
But your best friend, yes.
Yes.
Not saying that I have any secrets that I'm not, you know, from you, Greenlee, but, you know, best friend's secrets, okay, husband, no.
Not to mention all the lies that Miss Kendall has told Zach, and he keeps coming back for more. So Greenlee decides that the best place to tell Aiden that she don't want to have kids is at...
Confusion! A bunch of alcoholics in Pine Valley.
He points out conveniently that she wanted to have kids with Ryan, but not with him.
But then that should tell him something, you idiot.
So maybe they will break up now once and for all, but okay, I'm not getting my hopes up. I want to talk about, really quickly, two storylines that I enjoyed this week, but didn't much happen. Erica and Richie.
Together?
No.
Oh, I was like, I must have missed an
episode.
That would
be fun.
What?
Are we hearing rumors of Richie being killed off?
I don't know if you've been reading the blog, because I love you. Now that I know how to do the blog, I'm like on the blog every day.
It's a different world for him.
I love reading you. All of you all, you put your comments in the blog. I just love hearing from all of you, because I like to know that I'm not the only one who dislikes something.
Give us your comments.
I like your comments and your opinions. I'm loving it.
www.pinevalleypodcast.com, and you can click to the blog sites.
Yeah, I forgot who posted it, but there was some major action on the blog saying that Richie's, and I haven't even heard that spoiler alert. Even my source told me that they don't know what's going on with Richie. So
all right, so
Erica.
Well, Erica, we had Kendall and Zach visit Erica in jail. Zach was very awesome in these scenes, though. He told Erica in no certain terms that he was, oh, stop it. He's making this face and doing the hand wave. I love him, viewer, so I'm going to share with you. All right, he's going to tune out. I love Zachary in these scenes. He says he knows the whole story and that he's dealt and that he's moved on. And Miss Erica Kane says, oh, I'm so relieved. You don't know what a burden has been lifted. So we think that that's all said and done. And then Carmen is like bugging Jackson about stuff. And he's like trying to tell her that she is going to be freed and that he's going to help her and all this stuff. And she don't care. She's like, great. I know you're going to do it. You're a great lawyer. What about you and Erica?
And then Jackson spoke Spanish. And he was like, what did he say? Carmen, my little mama. Or something like that. I forgot what it was exactly. Mamacita? Not mamacita. It was something like me mama. Or something. He said Spanish. And I was like, Jackson. Go Jackson. That cracked me up.
Well, the most contrived, second most contrived moment of the week was they have to check cell phones at the guard station.
Which Jackson tells the security guard, when did this start happening?
Yes. So anyway, so they switch cell phones and by accident, and Kendall gets Jack's cell phone, Jack gets Kendall's cell phone, and then Erica is being pushed by the guard, okay? She wants to make a phone call. She wants to say one last thing to Kendall that she couldn't say to Kendall in front of Zach. And she speaks real fast like one of them auctioneers. And Jack picks up, doesn't even say hi, and Erica says, I couldn't come right out and say it with Jack standing so close by, but I'm so happy that you and Zach have been able to get past your night with Aiden. And if Greenlee never finds out, honey, then it's in the past forever, click.
And I give her props. Because she said it with one breath.
That's right.
She was amazing.
I didn't even do it with one breath just now.
I know.
I took a breath.
She's been doing it for 40 years.
So, I know, she's a pro. So Jack goes to see Erica, and she bold-faced lies to the man. That he knows.
That's our Erica.
And he knows, and he demands an answer.
Was he back to nodding his head?
Oh, it was like I was in pain for the man.
Are you serious? He was going to get whiplash?
He was going to hurt. He was going to slip a disc. Right now. So she ends up having to tell him, and she begs him not to tell, and he gets all, you know, she's my daughter and all that stuff.
Well, you know he's gonna tell. That's his daughter.
Yeah.
That he's had for like 3 years.
Now, where's the sex second dumbest place that everybody meets when they have to talk to somebody in private.
The comeback?
That's right. The third dumbest place, the park. But the park is far more excusable than either confusion or the comeback. The park is very large, you know. You can be in different places at different times.
Yeah, they're always at the same place. That's that little true. Corner with the little bench
but,
and the gate.
But think about confusion and the comeback. They are what you would call watering holes. Now, watering holes are places that people who know each other go to meet and socialize. Probably not the best place to go if you want to have a private conversation that no one else should hear.
Especially the place that the girl that you have the hots for, who her mother owns.
Unto whom you did some deviltry to. You do not want to go there and meet with the person who did the deviltry. So let's talk about Richie. Richie brings the hooker that he set up JR with to come back to meet her. And he says something like, babe's not here, or her mom's not here yet, or something like that. This hooker is wearing some Drusilla black lace hood. Did you see that? It was insane. So she gets the cash from him and she threatens more blackmail. And Richie arm wrestles the girl. All right? And then she's like, okay, I'll leave alone. Okay. Now, of course, Babe has walked in and has seen every drop of this. Now, I'm a little nervous for Babe at this point. I know you wanted to see him like cold cocker. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little nervous for the girl because she's a little too ballsy for this man. This man is the devil incarnate, all right? And she's going to get hurt by him. Now, she finally calls Richie on his stuff. He insults her and she slaps him and he says, don't do that again. And she's not afraid. And I was like, I was nervous for her. You should see. Jordan is sitting back, putting on lip balm. Whenever I'd say the word babe, his eyes just glaze over.
I do not. Okay, it's I true. Do.
I'm like, hello. I'm waving to him from across the room. He's so reclined. Hello.
Wait till Beth Ellis starts his life. I won't even be in the room with you for that.
Well, he roughs her up. Richie roughs Babe up a little bit, like verbally. And he tells her to prove that he did something to JR. And she's going to prove it. So she goes to the third most contrived part of the week. The whole cheap clothes at Fusion. Some cheap clothes come into Fusion. It was like for some photo shoot or something. And like the clothes come in and Greenland's like, oh my God, these clothes are horrible. They're hideous. They're so cheap, and even the material, oh, the colors are so 2006. You know, like, they're so obvious, so they're like, oh, get these away. So Babe talks to Amanda, who's looking delicious and lovely and all that stuff, and I love her. And Babe decides that sometimes when you want to catch a rat, you got to use some cheese. She really said that, people. She really said that dumbass line. And then she comes out, she says, good thing these cheap clothes came into Fusion. They're going to come in really handy. And she's dressed as like a prostitute. Now, she's not really looking that hookerly, let me tell you. She looks actually pretty good. She's wearing a brown wig. And I actually thought she looked beautiful in the brown hair. Brown wigs do something to people. Brown wigs completely perked up Landy. Not wigs, but brown hair.
When she dyed her hair dark.
When she dyed her hair dark.
Landy looked better with the dark hair.
I think she looks better with dark hair, too. You, babe. He's glazed. He is rolling his eyes, tapping his forehead. He is so bored. All right, let me move on with it. She says she's going to go after the hooker who Richie paid. End the story. I'm going to talk about Blandy. Did you see Amanda put on those underwears that the Japanese men sent and parading around in them in front of Blandy? Julie Hannon crap others. Women watch the show. All right, listen. I know we got people like Super Poster. We got people like Jordan. We got people like Jason, like Taylor. All right, fine. We have a male component watching the show. But for the most part, men, you got to admit, mostly women watch the show. Yeah. And we get so much of the female eye candy and really not enough of the men eye candy. We don't. Not anymore.
My whole theory on eye candy is, when it's needed, it's fine. But when you're just doing it with no purpose,
there
like,
no
like the women of Fusion, like
stripping for each other,
through the pole thing, it's stupid.
People, even if I had the body of Giselle Bundchen, I don't think I would be at work trying on a bikini set. Why do you say look to Giselle Bundchen?
I do not like Giselle Bundchen.
You do not like women.
No, I love women. I just don't like Giselle Bundchen. She's a
really?
She's a hoe. She's a homewrecker.
But Gisele Bündchen is beautiful. My point
she
is...
She has a manly face.
Oh, you're crazy. She's beautiful. She's Brazilian beauty. Ugh. He's crazy. Anyway, my point is is that we got to see Amanda, but it was a little odd seeing her parading in her skivvies for Blandy. So poor Blandy thinks that she's gonna. She convinces Blandy to go and knock Ryan's socks off, and she goes down to Confusion to see Ryan, and she's looking all beautiful and in a black sexy dress, and he's nothing, dud. He's hugging Greenlee, and she's all upset. So the next day, Ryan remembers the anniversary, and they go to the stable. Now, isn't this the Santos Gray stables?
Where his brother killed Edmund?
No, yes. Thank you. Absolutely. That's where he and Blandy made love the first time, and they go back, and she's just a bitch on wheels. Like, he's trying to be clearly nice, and she's just like, oh, you love Greenlee anyway, or you don't care about me, you care about Greenlee. You don't care about me, you care about Greenlee, and why are you doing this, and just don't do this, Ryan, I'm so sick of you, and blah, 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 blah. And then he remembers her.
She don't believe that he remembers her.
Yeah, she does. Because he gets specifics. Remember, he asked her why she was wet.
At the beginning, she didn't, though.
At the beginning, she didn't. She thought he was lying.
She was lying because he played that once before. But then she believed him. Then she believed. With specifics.
And then, all right, then she finally starts to believe. And then they make love. And at that point, I went up and I grabbed the sandwich.
Why?
When they make love, nothing really happens. So I made a sandwich. I made a phone call. I did some bills. It's perfect. It is perfect break time whenever they make love. I love it. It's awesome. So anyway, so then they have got to be the most boringest couple on soap operas. So then she sounds so pathetic. She's like, do you remember that you love me? Do you remember you love me? And I couldn't take my eyes off his nipples. He had some very protruding nipples in that scene. It was so bizarre. I don't know why.
It must have been cold in the barn.
It must have been cold. You're right.
Cold,
you're right.
Our nipples get hard.
That's right. That's right. Well, listen, I was happy that he didn't remember loving Blandy. I was very happy about that. He goes to see Kenzo.
Ooh.
And he tells
like
her.
A movie.
Yeah. What's that?
I don't remember loving Blandy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Anyway, he doesn't remember loving her. And poor Blend, this is where I'm starting to feel bad for the girl because she's so happy. She's in this pretty green dress. She's dressing Emma and dancing and saying that it's our first anniversary this year, honey. I'm so very happy. And some lawyer guy comes in and drops the bomb. Ryan never had a vasectomy. You see, fake vasectomies are on the rise because it's such a complex procedure. It's so costly. It's such a moneymaker that you have rogue doctors performing procedures that they never performed. BS.
Did Dr. Madden give him his vasectomy?
No, he didn't. But number 4 or 5 or 6 contrived plot point of the week. It just was running rampant, these contrivances. I'm telling you right now. I don't know if that's a word, but it sounds good. So stupid. And the other thing is, as Jordan pointed out to me at the beginning of the show, if Ryan never had a vasectomy, half of Pine Valley would be pregnant right now. Am I right?
No, that's
there
the first thing
eight
I thought.
Little
I'm like,
Ryan's running
I'm
around.
Like, how could he not have a vasectomy and not have impregnated somebody as much sex as he's been doing all this time?
I don't know. It's insane. So she's so happy. Anyway, she's so happy because she gets the news and she goes to run into... Now, why did she go to Fusion to talk to Ryan?
Because that's where Ryan was.
But how did she know that?
Because that's what the script said, just like on the hills.
Oh.
When you see something on the script, you got to do it the way the script says.
So she goes, right? And I feel so bad for the girl. She goes and she overhears Kendall saying, so you think you don't love Blandy? Except she said Annie. And she's crushed. Her little heart.
She said, what do you think this means for the relationship of you? Does this mean that you never loved her? It was so evil.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, are you saying maybe you never loved Annie? That's what she said.
Yeah.
Terrible. That poor girl. I so do not want to talk about Robert Gardner. We are so over time, and I don't want to talk about him. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say about these people. Let's just say Gardner is tripping on Cassie. He's trying to get that damn elephant, Mr. Chum. He looks in her bag at the comeback. She gets creeped out. He cackles his way through the episode. He spies on her. He has
tape recorders in Jesse and Angie's house. He's got drugs he wants to use.
He keeps having monologues with himself.
He keeps talking to somebody. We don't know who the hell it is, whether it's to himself or some person on the phone that we don't know. It's honestly...
It's one of his imaginary bitches, one of his friends.
I think so. Go see Imaginary Bitches, Eden Regal. It's funny stuff. I haven't actually watched the whole episode.
What?
Of Imaginary Bitches.
I didn't see it either.
We're going to see it. We're going to give you a review. So anyway, long story short, and then Jesse has a discussion with Cassie because he thinks she's been being weird.
I like that scene. Those scenes were good because it was finally they were being honest about it. Jesse was like, "I don't want none of this like fake or happy. Be real, girl. Enough with this niceness."
But all the while, you see the cut to Robert Gardner holding a freaking hypodermic needle and like cackling. And then he appears appears at their door, just like Kendall with that damn pregnancy test. He pulls it out in full view and is like cackling and talking out loud about he's going to get her with this hypodermic.
They really blew it with him and the character. They could have really, done so much really more with it. Did. They really screwed up. Though I like Cassie's ouch when she got shot with the needle.
Well, he finally comes in and he shoots her with the needle and she says ouch. And then she flops, drops, and rolls. It was awkward. I felt so bad for her.
But her ouch was good. You got to admit, that ouch was good.
All
I believe 72
pounds of her just kind of collapsed and rolled.
See, I'm trying to look at the positives.
It was almost like slow motion, but there was no slow motion.
Well, he's the new David Hayward. He has all these chemicals. Because then, like, she was talking to him. And he was grilling her. And then he's like, and now I'm going to count to 10 and you're not going to... I was like, it's David Hayward all over again.
Yeah, well, then he did this thing where he hypnotized her and said, when you wake, I'm going to put you to sleep. When I snap my fingers, when you wake up, you're never going to remember a thing. She put truth serum in her and she's telling him the truth. She says she don't know where the damn elephant is, and he pulls out a gun on her like that's gonna make a difference.
And then we forgot the way it ended.
How did it end?
It ended with Stuart and little A at the door because
returning
Kobe
the elephant.
Did I fall asleep? When did Kobe say, oh, this is Cassie's
I
elephant?
I have no idea. None.
All of a sudden she's getting the elephant and she's like, oh, Uncle Stuart, take this with no explanation. Just take this elephant to the Hubbard. She didn't even say it's Cassie's elephant. She goes, just take this to the Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was. This is what it's about, lazy writing. Lazy writing.
Very lazy. This whole storyline is so lazy.
They really dropped the ball with this storyline.
If they had done your storyline, Jordan, I would be so excited right now.
Well, you know, I wrote to them.
Make it personal. You did?
I actually, you guys don't know this, but I think it was 2000 or 2001, I actually submitted a proposal to revamp All My Children. And I did not hear from Brian Fonz. I heard from somebody, an underling of his, and they actually said that they liked my ideas. But I was really heavy into the history of the show and bringing back, kind of like what Frank is doing at One Night to Live. And of course, they were just like, well, what about all the, you didn't put any of the young kids that we had in the show. And I'm like, and I wrote back to them because I don't want them on there. They're not part of my... This was when I don't know if you remember that horrible JR with his girlfriend whose father was a drunkard, all that. I actually submitted and if you ever guys want to, I could actually put it on the blog or something for you guys. Something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it was I sent it to you, didn't I?
Yes,
did you read it?
It was
liked
good.
It? Yeah.
I think it's different. It might be different now, no.
No, it would totally be different now. So much has happened.
Yeah.
But I could still come up with something. Let me be the head writer.
I wish you had, because I would have loved it 100,000 times more than this porqueria. Do you say porqueria?
Do I?
Yeah.
Personally? No, I don't. I know. I love that word, but I never get to say it.
I love that word.
I don't junk, pronounce it right.
Trash, drunk, right.
Like something that's rotten.
Yes, that's
like
what it
rotten
means.
Like rotten food. Yes. It's porqueria.
Porqueria. All right, people. We have entertained you now for a good amount of time. If you would like us to shut up, you can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com, where you can find links to all that stuff and plus links of some of our friends. I'm your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
I came about this close to killing my own child. God is my witness. I don't remember doing it.
Get off of me!
You're doing this for your own good.
No! No! I am fine! I am not...
Please.
No!
Sedate her.
No! You can't take me up there! Adam!
Rest. My son.
in an elevator?
Oh, I love happy endings, don't you?